We are in Torah Chaf Gimel, Bez Hashem. We're going to be learning from page Lamed Hay in the standard print, the paragraph starting Vizesha Amrucha Chmein Zachar and the Vrach of a Yichan Pnei Ha'ir. We had a introduction last time to the series of Torahs of Sabe de Be'atuna and started talking about this Torah in general. Section Aleph of Chaim and Kramer starts off in review. A person must have faith, emuna, that the Ribbono Shel Olam provides him with sustenance. One can attain this faith, this emuna, with truth, with emes. And in the last year, we discussed a lot of the interdependency between emes and emuna and how that works, why emes is built in emuna and emuna is built on emes. And he continues, doing so causes a person to be attached to the Ar HaPanim. We had said that the Panim Dikdusha represents emes, the Ar HaPanim. The light, as it were, coming off of the source of light is how we relate to it, and attached to the Arpanim, life, joy, and the countenance of holiness. All of these things represent a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a connection with the source of energy, an expansion of self, a vitality. However, a person who lacks faith, he says, so that he thinks his own efforts bring him income. And we actually, in the last year, discussed a lot of the five different aspects of the Taivas Mammon and not having a that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one providing income. So this we linked to Avodah Zarah, to something that's not connected with the source of life, the source of truth, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu cutting oneself off from Amuna and Emes, which is an aspect of Avodah Zarah, relating to something else as the source which manifests in Taivas Mammon. He is then attached, he says, to the countenance of the other side, to the Sitra Achra, to death, Misa, to Atzvos. As we're still really towards the beginning of paragraph Aleph, I think this is enough of an introduction as we start to explore the relationship with money really being at the heart of Amuna and Emes, and or Taivas Mammon as being representative of Avodah Zarah. Continuing along, Vizesha Amru Chachmein Zachron of the Vracha Gemara and Shabbos Daf Lamed Gimel. It's discussing Yaakov after being by Lavan for 20 years and then encountering Esav on the way home. Yaakov was grateful for the safe haven that Shechem seemed to offer to him, and Yaakov, it says, Vayichan Pnei Ir, he graced the Pnei Ir. We discussed last time the idea of Pnei Ir, something that goes to the heart of a city. So over here, if Yaakov is providing Chen, and we can see that Yaakov is providing a certain tikkun to the city, perhaps we could say that this goes to the heart of where Shechem needed the tikkun. Chad Amr Matbea Tikkun Lehem, one of the shitas in the Gemara says that Yaakov established a system of coinage. Vachad Amr Merchatzos Tikkun Lehem, that he established bathhouses. Hainu Hach Velo Pligi, these opinions do not argue, they actually complement each other. Ki Yaakov hu bechinas emes. Yaakov is a bechina of emes. Last year we mentioned, if you line up the avos with the spheres, we say that chesed, which would be on the right, the chasadim, chesed is Avram Avinu, gvura is represented by Yitzchak, teferes, which would be the mamutza between them, is emes or rachmim, but Yaakov Avinu is associated with teferes. Over here it says Yaakov is associated with emes. K'mosha kasav, there's a pasuk in Micha, titein emes li Yaakov. As an aside, I saw in one of the notes, it says, Emes li Yaakov, if you rearrange the letters, this is Yaakov lo meis. Yaakov didn't die. And we said last time also that Emes is something that's nitzchi, meaning that if I tell you something that's false, but even if I tell you something that's true, but it's true based on particular circumstances, that means it's not intrinsically true, it's circumstantially appropriate. But it will at some point die, so to speak, because if those circumstances have changed, then whatever the statement was isn't necessarily true under the new set of circumstances, or it doesn't necessarily line up in the same way. Only something that is be'etzem atzmius, intrinsically true, only chayzmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The world is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The world is dependent on HaMakom. Even things that seem to be intrinsically true in this world are only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a self-contained system that expresses itself that way, right? The idea of 1 + 1 = 2, that is as far we relate to it, that is a true statement. Something can't change and say that 1 + 1 is not 2. But the only thing that is literally intrinsically true at the core of truth, that is unchanging, totally not dependent on anything else, ain saif, infinite, the context under which everything else exists, is HaMakom, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So something that is emes is lo meis. V'hu bechinas ar hapanim. We said last time that panim de kedusha is a representative of emes, and therefore hu bechinas ar hapanim. The way that we relate to truth is if Yaakov is emes, so this relates to ar hapanim. V'tekech kishibah, when Yaakov came to Shechem, nistake in emuna. Yaakov was Misakein Emunah. We had said last time that Emes and Emunah are interdependent, right? Very briefly, when a person has Emunah, a person couldn't be faithful to or attribute themselves to or fill in a gap, something that's not Emes as far as they're concerned. It's not something that they've validated, that they do due diligence on, that they relate to as fact as far as they're concerned, but rather there's a gap. They subscribe to something. What's the difference between Emunah and just any one of a million things that I could just make a decision not to decide? Where is one considered Emunah and one is considered foolish? Where Emunah is built on MS, the example we used last time is I validate a certain situation. I do research on a particular doctor. I know his education. I know his history. I know his experience. I know my personal experience. And then when he tells me a particular, let's say, medication to take or a path of treatment, that is Emunah. I'm filling in a gap. I haven't researched that particular drug. However, that's not arbitrary. That is a gap that I'm subscribing to and giving over my decision-making capacity over which path of treatment to take based on MS, and that's why that would be Emunah down a certain path. And we explained the other way around also, MS and Emunah are interdependent. MS is really built on Emunah. How do I know anything? Even if I did that research, the things that I have validated as fact. At some point, I'm believing my eyes, I'm believing things that I read, the source textbook, I'm believing my parents, I'm believing the Mesorah, I'm believing somebody else's research. So things that I take as fact are also based on Emunah. That's one way of looking at it. I'm sure we'll encounter other discussions as we go, but Emes and Emunah are interdependent. So Yaakov represents Emes, are upon him. He comes to Shechem, and he's Misakein Emunah. Rav Chaim Kramer points out, how do we know that the faith of Shechem citizens, that the Emunah of Shechem needed to be rectified? And he says, first of all, you see that Yaakov Avinu went to make these improvements, so you see that it was needed, but he goes on and associates with ideas that are going to come up in the Torah. We'll just see them in line. Vizem Matbea Tikein. This is the idea that Yaakov Avinu established a system of currency, of coinage. Shetikein Taivas Mamon. It's interesting. On one hand, we have Mamon, and we said that that's a bad thing. A person wants coins. A person wants money. On the other hand, establishing a system actually fixes Taivas Mamon. When there's no system of currency, then people barter, they trade. It becomes sort of like the Wild West. By setting up a system of currency, it actually allows for valuations and specificity and some sort of checks and balances on the system of business. Ukshatikein Taivas Mamon, when Yaakov Avinu fixed the Taivas Mamon, Nistakin Pagam Avoda Salilim. We associated last time the idea of Taivas Mamon with the Bechin of Avoda Zara. So when Yaakov implemented certain changes that were Misakin Taivas Mamon, this also removed an element of Avoda Zara, Vizeh, and this is what's addressed by the other Talmudic opinion, Vizeh Merchatzos, Tikein Lahem, that Yaakov Avinu established bathhouses. This is Betiris to make Gerim, to make them convert. What's the best present that you can give anybody to bring them close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Kamay Shakasava Teired Bas Paro Lirchot. Chazal say on the pasuk by Shmos that it said that Bas Paro went to go wash lirchotz lirchotz migilule beis avia. She went to wash off, to purify herself from this aspect of avodah zara. It was b'teres geiros. And the note over here points out that Yaakov Avinu was masking with the eitz of the shvatim to give bris mila to Shechem, meaning to prepare them for mila and tefila that they should be geirei emes. And this is why Yaakov Avinu expressed hakpada, which comes up later in the brachas as well, when the bnei Yaakov, when the shvatim, when Shimon and Levi used the Mila as a ruse rather than moving them towards rectification of Shmiras Habris and becoming Gerim, but rather they used it as a ruse in order to kill them, Yaakov Avinu was Makbid. And Vizev Ayicham Pnei Ha'ir Pnei Daika. Specifically, that Yaakov Avinu gave Chain to Pnei Ha'ir, she Ponim de Sitra Achra. The Ponim, we said that Ponim de Kedusha, the Ponim expresses the essence of something. The most true possible essence would be the truth, and that's the Ponim de Kedusha of a Kaddish Baruch, the MS, but the Pnei of anything else that's subscribing to some sort of an alternate, a separate value, that would be Panim de Sitra Achra. We'll make one comment in a second. Shehi Matbea. Over here, I guess there's two ways to look at it, whether the Matbea is the Panim de Sitra Achra, the subscription to Mammon, or we could say, like we said before, that when there's Taivas Mammon, which represents Avodah Zarah, and you put in a system of currency, so that now creates very specific values for what things are worth, that creates a structure that allows Taivas Mama now to move into a realm to subscribe to MS, so to speak, to subscribe to something that is that's sort of like rigid, that stands on its own, that it gives an ob- objective system of values. Hainu tayves mamon, ki kol avodah zarah is techuvim b'mamon, because all avodah zarahs are based on mamon, and therefore the tikkun through Pnei Yaakov, through MS of Or HaPanim, of Emuno, is the opposite of avodah zarah, which is tayves mamon, which is Chayshach. The idea that I was going to say, just in terms of Panim de Sitra Achra, we said that if Panim expresses something's essence and the way that you relate to it, so Panim de Kedusha, if you will, what's Kedusha? Holiness, but Hektish, Kedesha, the idea of Kedusha is something that's separate from this worldly considerations. Everything in this world is within a gvul, within a world of limitation. When we associate with ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we associate ourselves with the MS. An example that we used before is the Mechanech. Sometimes if the goal is Chinuch, then sometimes that is going to express itself through Chesed. Sometimes that's going to express itself through Gvura. Sometimes there's going to be discipline, even though those particular behaviors might be at odds with itself. I've seen you do chesed so many times, there's something contradictory about your behavior if all of a sudden now you turned into a disciplinarian, whereas the response to that is no, I'm not a Baal Chesed or a Baal Gvura, I am a Baal Mechanech. I do what people need. Generally speaking, it might be this, sometimes it's that, but that's not in conflict at all. That's when somebody is rooted at the MS and their goal is to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are various avenues, vehicles, behaviors, attitudes that have to be employed within this world so that we can work with what we have, create kalim to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're not necessarily intrinsically married to any one of them. There are means to an end. When they become an end in and of itself, we relate to upon them as, no, I always have chesed. What if somebody's doing something that's destructive? Chesed, acceptance, but it's going to destroy himself and others. You can't ever do anything keneged chesed. Or alternatively, if a person is always just according to the letter of the law, sometimes they need to be flexible. I'm only chesed, I'm only gvura. That's why I think we mentioned last time, I don't remember, the Medrash, it says that the Torah was presented to other nations and they said, well, if the mitzvahs conflict with a particular midah that was expressed by that nation, the Torah was not for them. Why is the Torah not for them? The Torah has mitzvahs because their entrance point, their keli, their attitude and perspective towards the entire world was not an MS and then it was in any particular midah subject to MS rather, but that midah was what intrinsically they were tied to, and therefore if you were going to give them mitzvahs that were not in line with their midah, was something that they were incompatible with at their core. That's something that's upon them to sitra achra. It's something that's not removed from this world considerations, but rather it's these other panim, these other faces that are achirim, Elohim achirim al panai. Now it's interesting. Why ki kol avodah zarah is techuvim b'mamon? All avodah zarah is techuvim b'mamon. I'm going to mention one thought that I had as we were learning Torah Yud Gimel, and then one other idea. First of all, as far as mammon is concerned, it's interesting that it touches every area of life. It's something that every single person needs. Every person needs to do hishtadlis. Every person needs to work in order to have money or whatever it is that they're going to barter in order to get their needs and sometimes luxuries, whatever it is that they need for life. So mammon is intrinsically tied. It's something that we do need. Mammon also, if you think about time as money or whatever it is that a person produces, is tied to their efforts, whether it's what they initially produce or what they trade for. It's intrinsically seems to be, it gives the appearance of being tied to a person's efforts, hence the challenge of Kaychi V'yaitzim Yadi, and it presents itself as a challenge in every turn. On one hand, a person can work and be successful, and they say Kaychi V'yaitzim Yadi, and it presents a challenge in terms of how they relate to money. Do they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing their needs, or do they relate to it as being an outcome of themselves if a person's giving tzedakah? Alternatively, right, the person says that 10% of everything I earn is going to go to tzedakah. That means that even they're relating even to their kaychi, even to the efforts that they put into things that results in mammon, that even their efforts don't entirely belong to them. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses, I've already heard quoted at least, that meiser is not just mammon. Meiser could also be in terms of a person's time, giving time for gemilas chasadim and to help others. So when a person is successful, there's the taiva of mammon, and when a person's not successful, there's the taiva of mammon. I don't have it yet. Where am I going to put my efforts? Am I going to give yigia towards a certain thing? If a person is the test of wealth, and then there's the test of poverty. Another idea that I mentioned when we learned Torah Yud Gimel is, at least within a particular way of looking at it, mammon is a very interesting taiva. Other taivas seem to be an end in and of themselves. A person has a taiva for arayas. A person has a taiva for foods that aren't kosher. At least in terms of a temporary pleasure, that thing that they're chasing gives them temporary pleasure, and they unfortunately are sometimes willing to put aside the nitzchias pleasure or the nitzchias considerations for something that's temporary. Money is literally in a league of its own. Interestingly, it's almost like a taiva that takes away from taiva, not even for temporary pleasure. What do I mean by that? A person should be learning, so instead they go out with their friends, they go to the movies, they go chase other types of dvarim asurim. But even if it makes no sense, even if it's going to be at their own expense, they're doing something that at least gives them pleasure. When it comes to money, a person can, let's say, have $10 million in the bank. They could have enough money that they're never going to need to work again. And yet, what should they be doing? If they're, you know, halavai, they should be sitting and learning in Kailal. And if they're not sitting and learning Kailal, even if they're a rusher or somebody that just is totally focused on physical pleasure, they should spend all day sitting on the beach doing whatever it is that turns them on. Over here, you'll have people that literally sacrifice even those physical pleasures in order to just engage in business, engage in making more money, increase it. When it's at the extreme level, it's more money than they could even spend, even if they spend all of the amount of money that they want. They'll say, I need to pad my bank account for generational wealth. Maybe it's framed as security. It's nothing even on their own terms that they're ever going to get pleasure of. So maybe you could say there's a certain pleasure in like winning the deal or whatever it is. But the idea of chasing mammon, and you could think about this in your own terms, is not even something that pulls somebody away from the true goal, from the true reality, from the true good, towards fill in the blank, towards something temporary, towards something that's a facade. Taivas Mammon is something that pulls somebody away, not even to anything. It's literally just the pull away without being towards something. It's like the taiva for taiva's sake. Definitely something to be mizbeinin on as we go through this taira. We've spoken in the past about arayas tikkun yanim, shmiras bris tikkun yanim being the ra kailal, but taiva's mammon also is in a class of its own. So we said that kol avodah zara is tchuvin b'mammon. If we talk about avodah zara, it's like subscription to an other, especially against the backdrop of what we just laid out. Not even something, you know, towards a particular pleasure, but something that takes on a life of its own in every circumstances. We said that avodah zarah is also rooted based in this idea of taivas mammon. Ubishvil zeh mammon im oisius gematria mea ve'arbaim. Therefore, mammon with the letters is the gematria of 140, meaning that mem is 80, nun makes it 130, and then 6 for the vav is mammon is a gematria of 136. Plus, if you add one more to the gematria for each letter, because mammon is four letters, that becomes 140. Kineged mea varbon kolin, kineged the 140 kailais that Chazal point out in Sanhedrin, shehashchinat tzivachas kolani meiroshi kolani mizrayi. Chaim Kramer points out in the note over here that the Gemara is talking about those who are committed to idolatry, to blasphemy, and even so, the Shechina bemoans their lot and screams out in anguish over their fate. Over here, we're talking specifically about the Avodah Zarah related to greed, related to Taivas Mammon, and those types of inyanim. Why Kalani Miroishi, Kalani Mizrohi? He goes on to talk about the idea that the Gemara in Bracha says that the same way that Klal Yisrael wears tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, the Psukim and Ar tefillin speak about the Yichud of Hashem, the Psukim in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin, as it were, speak about the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, v'shachanti b'seicham, that we act as a dwelling place of the Shechina, and when a person is, as it were, driving HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence from the world, the Shechina is in Galus. Instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoicing in a person, in a member of Klal Yisrael, the Shechina wails and bemoans over him and screams, heavy is my head, heavy is my heart, and can no longer attest to man's greatness. So he says, "Al elu hanoiflim b'taivas mammon." This idea of kolani miroishi, kolani mizrohi, a double screaming out, as it were, is specifically on people that fall to taivas mammon. Shehem avodas alilim klulim me'avodah zaros shel shivim umos. That this is avodah zarah that is kolol from 70 umos. So this matches up to what we said before, that it's as if all avodah zarahs are tchuvin b'mammon. The way I think it matches well that we describe taivas mammon is the idea of being driven almost away, not driven towards a particular type of a taiva, but it's just the idea that we're being driven. So it relates this to all, each one of the umos has some particular characteristic. All of these are rooted in taivas mammon, and therefore the avodah zarah relates to 70. Now we're going to see 70 times 2, where that comes from. at the first instance, we say Vial Kein Heim Kuf Mem. Kuf Mem is come to stand up or to sustain. Kuf Mem is also Gematria 140. The note over here brings from a Gemara Msachim is that Mamano Shaladim Shemek Kimo Al Raglav, that money stands a person up on his feet. It says Vayakam Stay Ephron Lavram Lemikne. So the word come is used in relation to money. So it says Al Kein Heim Kuf Mem, or come Kalin 140 Kailais Shehem. So this is referenced again in the gematria of the word mammon. This is 2 times 70, because the Shechina cries out 70 times 2, Bechinas kolani meroishi kolani mizroi, on behalf of something relating to the roish and the arm, which I'm leaving that like that for a second. Shu bechinas kolais kfulin, the amount of cries that one would generally cry out, which we're going to see is 70 times 2. Hainu shnei pa'amim ayin Kolin shetzivachas hashchina al hanoiflim b'tayves mammon, that the Shechina is crying out 2 times for those that fall to mammon. She avodazara klula mikol avodazara shel ayin umos, that it's 70 times of a wailing that relate to the 70 umos, but it cries out times 2. Now over here, Rabbi Atiya points out why times 2, because the tayves mammon and a person that falls to tayves mammon is in 2 regards. Number one, it is because he thinks that it's koychivay. It's because of his chachma, his eitza, satovus, kochi relates to eitza. It's something that he thinks was his own chachma that led to money, which the Gemara, by the way, says, writes a yachkim yadrim, that the way that somebody davens, the Gemara in Bava Basra has a reference to yamin and smol, yamin being towards the menorah, to chachma, smol being towards the shulchan, and it says that a person that wants to daven for wisdom davens towards the yamin, and the smol davens towards the and for wealth davens towards the smol. And then there's a sheet over there that brings, no, daven to the yamin, daven to the right for chachma anyway, because a person who has wisdom, so then that'll be a path to ashiras. However, that's only the mechanism, that's only the way to get it, but in terms of the source of wealth, that does not come from one's own wisdom. So first of all, there's 70 colors that relate to the Reish, that relate to the fact the person attributes it to his wisdom. That's Kalani Bereishi. And then there's a second set of wailing, of moaning, of Kalani that comes that a person thinks Kaychavaitim Yadi, that it's from his physical efforts. Vizesh Amru Chachmin Zachron Levracha Koshin Mizainoisav Kiflayim Kayoileda. So in some way, Chazal relate the challenges, the difficulty in bringing out Mizainos twice like birth. So that in some regard, bringing about Parnasa is twice as hard, we'll see, to bring about as a Leda. Ki hayoyledes ramas ayin. Kalin Kaidam Aleda. A woman who's in labor is going to scream out 70 Kailais, like it brings in the Zayar, in Pinchas, Vehacha, we've mentioned this before also, Vehacha, when it comes to Mizainais, Yesh Kuf Mem Kalin, there's 140 Kailais associated with it, Shem Shnei Pa'amim Ayin, which is 70 times 2. Now, clearly what we're talking about over here seems to be a very lofty concept. There are a few ideas, I don't want to get lost in it, the notes have a lot to say about it. I'm going to mention more just by point of reference some of the things going on over here, that what's a Leda? A Leda is bringing a person into the world. And Adam is really defined by his Das. Torah is an aspect of Das. It says over here that Das is incorporated, incorporates 10 times Yudke Vavke. So Das would be Yudke Vavke is 26. Yudke Vavke times 10 would be 260. Ayin is Ayin Yud Nun. Ayin Nun is 70 and 50 is 120. With the Yud, it's 130, which means that 260 Das incorporates 2 eyes. So since Erech Yamin B'Yamin, that's going to be the Das, Shivim Panim L'Taira is represented by the Yamin. And therefore, in order to bring about a Leda, to bring about a Das into the world, that's 70 cries. So it says over here, so why do we have to cry? A person has to cry out to bring this Das into the world, to bring it past all of the negative forces and so forth. So first of all, when it comes to Mizonos, the person has to do it at the level of the intellect, that he shouldn't fall into intellectual issues, like we said, in terms of thinking that it came from his own source, from his own hands. And then second of all, after the Mizonos comes into the world, he shouldn't look back and then think that it came from his own efforts. We already explored earlier that the Taivas Mammon represents itself, the challenge represents itself both before a person works, after a person works, how a person relates to it. So over there, when a person brings the Das into the world, that's going to be on the right, bringing it down the Das, bringing the Leda, that's going to be the 70 on the right. over here, there's a different additional 70 kalis that relate to guarding a person against the negative challenges associated with how he relates to the actual action of it once it's brought into the world. Another idea based over here from Likutei Halachas and Hilchos Geneva, it says that we should daven that the parnasa should come from a makom gavaya of kuli amina, and therefore there's really two bechinas of the shefa associated with parnasa coming down. One is from the amin elyon el asmol, and then the one is from the smol elenu. So it should come down with the right kavanas, and then it comes down into the practical world. It's not b'tayrus chachma and das, but rather we need parnasa, wealth, practically speaking. So again, this is, it's certainly beyond me. I hope that I didn't misinterpret or misquote anything. A lot of it is just a lot of it is formulaic in terms of representing Kabbalistic ideas. Suffice it to say that the two elements we discussed are, number one, when a person falls to Taivas Mamon, there's two separate elements of wailing, of bemoaning over it, that each are represented by Shivim, by 70 screaming out, and also seemingly on the front end, whereas a protection of breaking past the negative forces to assure that it's positive, there's a Leda. The Leda is associated with Das, with bringing an Adam into the world, with bringing Torah into the world, Erech Yamim B'Yamina, that's one element of Ayin. But over here, when it comes to bringing wealth into the world, and that Parnas, a shefa, mezainis into the world, it would actually be an added element, and it would be two aspects of this crying out, which would be 70 times 2. Vizehu alti rasha bifnei atzmacha. A person should be, or should not be, a rasha bifnei atzmacha. So we're going to see what this means. Some of the pshatim in the Mishnayos brought by the Bartanu is either a person shouldn't do actions that are going to be marshia themselves, a person shouldn't view themselves as a rasha, because then they're going to end up following their opinion, their view of themselves, and acting badly, or a person shouldn't be a rasha in terms of being Parishman at Tzibur, and standing, so to speak, on their own, separate from the community. But over here, Rabbeinu learns it, Bifnei Zeu Ponim de Sitra Achra Haba Machmas Taivas Mamon. A person should not be a Rasha in how they relate, instead of Ponim to Kedusha, Ponim de Sitra Achra Vodazara, Ponim Chashuchos, darkness, especially as relates specifically to Taivas Mamon, Shein Mamin Bakadosh Baruch Hu Shuhu Azonim Afarnes, like we said, both on the front end and on the back end. We gave in the last year, five different ways that this comes up. Either not conducting business b'emuna, or putting in more yegia, more effort than would otherwise be appropriate, because they don't really believe that the source is Hashem, but rather it's attributed to their own efforts. The way that they understand it, of koichi va'itzim yadi, generally speaking, philosophically, a person who's not sameach b'chelko, a person who is not who's not giving, he's not giving tzedakah. We went through all of these in the last year. So a person who's not mamin, that the source of mizonos, of parnasa, is coming from a kadosh baruch hu, there as if it's their nizayin, their associating themselves from the ponim de sitra achra that comes from taivas mamon, v'hu chayshev kaychiv yaitim yadi asali esachayil hazeh, that what is atzmacha mean, lashin aitim yadi. So the way that we relate to this mission in Avos is al tehi rasha, a person shouldn't be rodef after mamon, a person shouldn't take action, which is a bechina of bifnei, al tehi rasha bifnei, the ponim de sitra achra specifically as relates to taivas mamon, and he shouldn't be a rasha bifnei atzmacha through relating to money as though it's kochem v'otzim yadi, associated with his Otim Yadi, which is his strength, but rather understanding that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we're going to go into paragraph Beis. Just one line of cleanup that I had mentioned before. We had talked about two aspects of the cries associated with bringing wealth into the world. One of them we talked about as associated with Leda, bringing Chachma into the world, and not attributing my wealth to Chachma, my wisdom, my know-how. And then there was a second aspect, that's why it was Leda times two, as also not attributing wealth towards Kechavayz Yadi, towards my actions. And when we talked about Ayin as relating to Das, we mentioned on one hand that Das was representative of 260, which is two times Ayin, and we said that Ayin is 130, as you spell out, Ayin Yud Nun would be 130, but then Ayin, the letter, also represents 70 as the gematria of the letter of Ayin itself. Okay, we're going to go now into paragraph Beis, and we're now going to explain how Tikkun HaBris also saves one from Taivas Mamon, from the Panim de Sitra Achra, through from Chayshech, from Taivas Mamon of Odazara. V'dash Aide Tikkun Bris Kodesh, who needs only Panim de Sitra Achra. Through the Tikkun of Bris Kodesh, Shmiris HaBris, rectifying sexual matters, a person is also saved from the Panim de Sitra Achra, from this Taivas Mamon, which we associate with Avodazara, because the way that a person relates to Parnas in his life, through the Shefa coming down from Shemaim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether to what degree he puts in too much yigia, whether he relates to kaychiv aitzim yadi. So the way that a person relates to mammon is very much tied to amuna, the opposite of avodah zarah. We also had said that taivas mammon, the tying that we're going to see in a minute, associates to a tumah which we said was like the tumah of nida, which we associate with avodah zarah. So he says ayde dam bris nistakin dam nida. We can think about this broadly, that the dam nida is the tum associated with dam nida, but it's associated with the menstrual cycle, with the reproductive process, and the dam bris, the shmiras bris kodesh, also associated with reproduction. Over here, he mentions that the dam nida is a chelek from the yetzira of the vlad. So when the baby has a bris, so that dam bris is mistaken mizdacheches. It purifies the baby from this tumah that would otherwise be associated with dam nida. But we had mentioned before the tie-in from Taivas Mammon based on a Pasuk Navi with the Tumas Nida. So this becomes the tie-in that Dambris purifies from Dam Nida, from the Tumah associated with Nida. And we explained that Taivas Mammon, the way that people related to their gold and silver and then they rejected it, that was also associated with the Tumah, with the Tumah of Nida. K'maisha Kasov Gam Dambrisech, that Alidei Bris, through the dam of the Bris, Shilachti Asirayach Mi Bar, that the prisoners were freed from the bar. What's a bar? Bar da tchayl. A bar is associated with the tchayl, with the spleen. We mentioned before the four humors and the Marash Chayra and being associated, also reflecting himself in physiological terms. Just one interesting point, there's the note over here quotes a Tikkunia Zayar, which says that Shabsoi, Saturn, Yutchayl, Saturn is associated with the Tchayl, and there's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amra Aleph. It says that a person that's born under Saturn, in terms of the astrological signs, Haiman de Shabsoi, He Gever Machshiva Seha, Machshiva say battle, that his thoughts, his plans will become frustrated. So it's just interesting that the tying to the tchayl, to marash chayra, to depression, to atzvos, to lethargy, for whatever this is worth, the Gemara in Shabbos has an interesting tie in that somebody who is born under the astrological sign that would otherwise align with the spleen would be almost like doomed to frustration in terms of his plans working out. So however that is, but the tchayl is associated, the spleen, with marash chayra, with atzvos, and that ties into the bar. The Tikkun Ezar also mentions Habar Reik Ein Bo Mayim, but what was there? There was Nechashim and Akrabim, and perhaps we could say, what's Mayim? Mayim is Tyra. Tyra is MS. It's attachment to Kaddish Baruch Hu, right? Yisrael V'Rais of a Kaddish Baruch Hu Chadhu. So if the bar does not have Mayim, Mayim also causes growth. And what is there? There's this Nechashim Akrabim, which is the Tikkun Ezar says Rav and Simon, Kina, Hespid, Chashecha, Raphael. So this darkness, everything that we're associated with the Panim de Sitra Achra, is represented by what was in the empty bar. And therefore, Beitzavan Techelena, that means that what a person ultimately eats, the way that they have Parnasa, it'll be Beitzavan. It'll be in this mode of Panim de Sitra Achra, of darkness, of not being associated with the Anpin Nahirin, the lit up face, the MS, the relationship with our Kaddish Baruch Hu and Ashgacha Pratis, and understanding that we have a Chiyav, we have an obligation, as it were, to engage in Hishtadlis. But if anything, it could be sometimes a big bracha when a person puts in Hishtadlis and then things work out, not associated with that Hishtadlis. Actually, the way that a person becomes supported, they get the parnasa from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, when it's in response that a person says hinini muchan mezumen to go out to work, and then things work out of left field. It comes out that the parnasa is mamish, and reinforces Ashgacha Pratis. But where a person distances themselves, they engage in parnasa activities, whether or not they're doing well, and that actually distances themselves from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that has on a lot of levels beats seven teichalena. I guess on one hand, it could make a person very weary and they give up, like we said, relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, relationship with their family. They're always chasing Parnasa. But even if they end up doing well, they're also Bitzavan, they're in the darkness if they are distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, so we said that Tikkun HaBris saves from Dam Nida, which we associate with Taivas Mammon, that Shmiras HaBris saves one from Taivas Mammon. Why? Ki Bris hu bechinas Melach. The idea of Bris, the Psukim talk about the Bris in the context of Melach by Karbonas, Hamamtik Meriros v'itzvayna Parnasa, Kamuva Bezayar. We're going to bring a raya from this, from the Zayar. Imale Milcha, if it weren't for salt, Lahave Alma Yachle L'mispa Merirusa, then the world, Olam can mean La'olam, it could be Netzach. Olam also means world. But if it wasn't for salt, then the oilam would not be able to bear the merirus. I guess both of these meanings say that the world, that the nitzchias, things would become temporary. The world would not be able to endure. Now, salt, just in terms of the physical characteristics, does a lot of things. Number one, it prevents spoilage. If you have basar, you have something that's vibrant, flesh, life. If when you have a piece of meat, if it wasn't for salt, then the meat would spoil. It would move to misa, to death, as it were. Otherwise, meat invigorates. People eat. A person can get a lot of vitality from meat. Second of all, salt preserves taste. Pasuk in Eov, he brings from a Sefer Shari Tzedek, Lord of Yosef, Katalia, I'm probably mispronouncing the name, where it says, "Hayochel tafel bli melach." And Eov, should we eat something tasteless without melach? And he associates tafel with a lashon of tefillah, which is represented by malchus, emunah, relationship with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he says that salt is esh and mayim coming together. When you boil the water, you're left with salt. So if esh is gvura and water is chesed, and the mamutza between them, when they come together, that makes rachmim. So rachmim aligns with yisoid. Causes shalom bias, and therefore, when there's salt, when there's yisayid, and we said before also, teferes is rachmim, all of those line up in the middle. Again, I'm just mentioning this because you just have nigla and nister, all of it coming together. It's hard to keep track of all of it, but just watching that the framework, that the panemius, that the entire world, every aspect of what we're talking about is built on this. When you have yisayid, which is rachmim, which salt is associated with that, and now that malchus, the tefillah, the ayr, the emes, the relation, the emunah, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be achieved, and therefore the world, the malchus, the gilui shechin in this world, is going to be la'olam. It's going to be lasting, and the world can be preserved. So again, ki brisu bechinas melach. Bris is associated with melach. Kaddish Baruch Hu also made a bris, a deal with the lower waters, as it were. They were upset, the Medrash says, when they couldn't be closer to Kaddish Baruch Hu, when the upper and lower waters were separated. So Kaddish Baruch Hu said that the salt will come from the lower waters. That will be brought with every single carbon, which is a carbon which gets close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melach hamamtik meriris v'itzavin parnasa. Melach is able to be mamtik. It's able to sweeten up the atzfus that would otherwise be associated with v'itzavin teichalana. Kemuv b'zohar emalei milcha lehave alma yachle l'mizbo merirusa. That if it wasn't for salt, then the world wouldn't be able to be seivel the merirus. And we see now that shmiris habris is associated with salt. V'zeh bris melach oilam hu. This is what it says, that the bris, which is shmiras habris, but associated with melach oilam hu, it's going to be nitzchias, it's going to allow a kiyum of the world. V'zeh uvaloi sashvis melach bris elokecha. The end of the pasuk over there says me'al min chasecha. You can't not have salt. There has to be salt associated with the karbanais. The melach bris elokecha al kol karbanecha takrav melach. That's the end of the pasuk, that you need salt with every one of your karbanos. So you see that melach, taking a bris, will make one zoicha to eloikecha daika, ki al yidei zeh, niskasher be'eloikos, v'nisparish me'avayda salilim. When we talk about avayda zara, a lot of times we say Elohim acherim, that a person attributes the power, and they attribute that power as the source of what's happening from something downline from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but really a Kaddish Baruch Hu is the Elokei Elokim. So when a person has the bris, we said there's the bris melach, we said shmiras bris, that brings the karbonis, it brings one closer to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A person has his batlis, their mevatel, everything in the world is an expression of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They see the truth, they say the Or Panecha, they see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true source of all sources, that everything else is downline from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But no, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created the world, he's Mechadesh Olim Chayim Tamid Maaseh Bereishis, that every single instant HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware and running and governing, and there's Hashkacha Pratis. That is where, that's Elokecha, and not only is there Elokei Elokim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate source of sources, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokecha, he's our God. We have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yesod Shmiras Habris Melach makes it that it's associated with the Karbanos, that there's Elokecha, and we explained also that this certainly relates to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, as it were, fuel, supporting the world and supporting us through Parnasa. This becomes a very direct relationship. This causes a Hiskashrus with Elokos, and it separates us from Avodas Alilim. Kamaisha Kasov Mibsari from Bisari from the Shmiris Habris Echse Eleka. That's where there's going to be a Gilui of Elokos. Kiyde Tikun Habris Meir La'atzmai Ar Pnei Melechayim. That's the Arponim that we started off the Torah with. That through the Tikun Habris, a person has the light. They have the direct relationship, the truth. They see the Chachma of Hakadosh Baruch Hu in everything. Vizeh, and that's what the Gemara says. Melach Mamon, the symbol of Tikun Habris, which is Melach, but the preservative of Mamon is Chaser, is Tzedakah. We'll say something about that in a second. Ki al yidei Melach, through Melach, which is Tikun Habris, nismait etzlo taivas Mamon, then a person is not going to have taivas Mamon, and there, that's what Chaser is, that this person is going to give Tzedakah. One of the interesting things, sometimes when a person has a bechira, they say, I'm choosing between A and B. But another way of looking at it is, it's not so much that we're choosing between A and B. Should I be selfish or should I give tzedakah? Should I a person have taiva or tikun habris? I'll start off mentioning one idea that I just saw quickly from Moshe Shapiro, the shiurim that was printed this week from Parshas Balak. He mentions just a new way of looking at evil, at ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of the paradox of creation is that if A creates B, then that means that B was within A. If there's evil in the world, then that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the evil, because everything in the world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kulo Tov, so then how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create evil, which is responsible for a lot of Avodah Zaradik ideology, that would seem to mean that there's a source of good and a source of evil. But Rav Moshe Shapiro framed it beautifully. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create Ra. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was the potential for Ra. Why? Because the ultimate good, the ultimate choice of Malchus, you could have a dictator. If I force you to do something, that's just indicative of my strength. In Melech B'loy Am, the ultimate statement of being Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim is when, we've said before, a person looks at the world and they perceive the truth. It's as if I choose to see that 2 + 2 = 4. Does that mean that I'm giving up my choice because I can't choose to operate my business or my, build a building and use math where 2 + 2 = 5? No, I'm recognizing the truth. I've now made a bechira, as where the greatest possible bechira is to subscribe, to give up my bechira. The best, the ultimate statement of his batlus is saying, like we said, MS leads to emuna. I've acknowledged that there only is one truth in the world, and therefore I want to be mevatel myself to the truth. I am making that bechira. In order to have a person be able to make a bechira, to be mekabel ol malchus shemayim, the truest gilui shechina in the world, right? The truest Gilui Shechina is when you have somebody who has a choice between Tov and Ra, and they recognize that 2 + 2 = 4, not because somebody said it, not because somebody is forcing me, but because as I look at it, there's only one truth. There's infinite amounts of falsehood, but a person recognizes that this is true because it has to be true. That's the rejection of Ra in favor and understanding that it's actually totally illusory, that it doesn't even exist as a choice, is the greatest statement of Tov. It's not until a person sins, by the Chet HaRishon, that Ra becomes actualized at the Olam HaSiyah, at this altitude, that actually brings Ra into the state of actualization for the first time later on. So Kiviyachol, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Hechetimtza of Ra only in order that there should be a Bechira. Now, when a person makes the choice for Tov, so the example we use in the past is two people are arguing about what's behind a curtain, right? There's some sort of a shadow generated behind a white sheet, and two people are arguing. And one person says, it's a bunny rabbit, and the other person says, no, it's somebody holding up their fingers to reflect it like that. And then you remove the sheet, or somebody looks behind. So it's no longer like two people, fighting over directions. Both things will get you there. One says this is better, the other one says that's better. Two people want pleasure. One says that Ruchnius is a real pleasure, one says Gashmius is a real pleasure. But when you have a situation where a person, where the truth becomes megala, the truth is revealed, and the falsehood is shown that it just never existed. So now the truth is actualized, and the ra, that other argument, stays in the potential. It never existed. It never had legs to stand on. Or let's say you have, you know, a certain amount of strength, or you have money. You have $100. You could spend it on A, and you could spend it on B, and I have a choice. Once I actually go and spend it on A, then B is no longer a choice. The money is spent. So when we look over here and we understand that there's taivas mamon, there's the way that I relate to my sustenance in the world, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world and sustaining the world and sustaining me, and is responsive, and v'haya im shamaya tishmu, is a kaych v'aytzim yadi, is it my chachma, my action, or is it that my chiv, but everything goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And a person says that that's why the, in Avos, my understanding, but I believe it's pointed out this way, it says that you're not supposed to estimate Meiser. Why? Because if I estimate, you can give Meiser and then you can give a lot more tzedakah, whatever you want. But when there's Meiser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, I just gave you 10, 9 belongs to you, 1 belongs to the poor person, I'm telling you to pass it along. Tzedakah, the Meiser, is an expression that the money doesn't belong to me. If the money belongs to me, I can spend it on kavod. That kavod might be tzedakah. I feels good to give tzedakah, but that's my decision to make because it's my money. But when I give tzedakah, so number one, it's a statement of where the money comes from, and number two, a person, they put their blood, sweat, and tears into parnasa. People relate to their possessions, their kinyanim, as an extension of self, right? So when a person gives tzedakah, and now it's not even that, let's say they work for 10 hours, 9 hours is mine, 1 hour is somebody else. 1/10 of every molecule, every atom, every time of work is now elevated because they give tzedakah. Every single thing that I do, that I bring in, is that 1/10 of that belongs to tzedakah. It's a statement that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And similarly, the Shmir Sabris versus Taiva. If a person thinks, we said that Shmir Sabris, can I get the Dam Nido, which comes out in the baby. If you think about what's Shmir Sabris, what's Taiva, when a man and a woman get together, so then that perpetuates the world. That becomes also an extension of self. That's Pruervu. When a person relates to this through Taiva, they're taking the ultimate way of giving over life, of extending humanity in the world, and then they're relating that as a selfish pleasure. When a person has shmiras habris, and then they channel that into something that's productive, into bringing a neshama down to the world, and they take that very thing, and now they channel it towards connecting a shlemus, ishan ishan, naisin makabel. It's the highest avoda. It's out of kedusha in the right way with the right kavanis. So now they've already taken that, so to speak, $100, and they've spent it on something. They no longer have that taiva, so to speak. They already relate to the maisa as an act of avoda. The taiva goes away. So in both of these things, perhaps I'm suggesting that is bringing shefa, bringing parnasa down, and the idea of shmir sabris, the idea of ish and isha. These are things that relate to an extension of oneself. And when a person relates to an extension of self as a chelik of avoda, and bring shefa down and connecting oneself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and making oneself into a pipe to bring bracha into the world, so then this is going to be a rejection of darkness. That's Ar Pnei Hashchina, as opposed to Sitra Achra, as opposed to darkness, as opposed to Misa, as opposed to an end in and of itself, as opposed to making oneself into sort of the end of that pipe where the taiva resides, where it's my money, it's my taiva, it's my pleasure to be used for me, and instead a person make oneself into a pipeline. And certainly there could be an amount of a person that carries perfume ends up smelling good. There certainly could be a pleasure associated with having things, whether in either realm, whether in terms of physical maiso or in terms of having nice things. But nevertheless, when a person relates to these things as a chelik of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than being self-serving, this is the ultimate attaching oneself to Chaim, to the Or Pnei HaMelech, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Elokim Chaim, being an extension of life and vitality, the chelik of the Kabimal, the Shama within, he's reverberating with godliness rather than being self-serving to the behemoth part of him, to the goof part of him that is not associated with life, with misa, with darkness. And we see therefore that the melach is the bris aylam, associated again with miras habris, which purifies damnido, which we associated with the avodah zarah in relation to mammon, and agav also that the salt, when it, in the kashering process, when it draws out the damim also means money, dam it means blood, it draws out the blood of the meat, which would otherwise the meat, the excess bile is atzfus, is lethargy, we said associated with the spleen, and demarash chayra, it draws that out of the meat, leaving the meat fresh and able to provide vitality. Another place where we see in the Bria, just in the physical parts of it, how these concepts express themselves. And Chaim Kramer brings the last point in the note. Good. continuing to paragraph Gimel, we said that a person who is shomer the bris is zoche to bechina of melach, a bechina of bris. This is also mamtik. It brings a sweetening, as it were, to the merirus of taivas mamon, to the bitterness of taivas mamon. We mentioned a moment ago that a person who has a choice to utilize energy, to direct energy, really, towards kedusha or towards tumah, towards averus, and they make a choice, or the right choice. It's not so much that good at that point, we see that there's good and we see that there's bad, and then the person chooses good. At whatever point a person actualizes towards the good, the bad option is just no longer on the table. They have $100, they could spend it on good or bad, and once they spend it on good, the $100 is no longer an avenue. A person relates to the relationship between Ish and Isha as a Maisa Dikdusha. Once he's identifying, he relates to that as a Maisa Dikdusha, then there's no more Ra there. That's not how he identifies. He no longer has to be Goyver that. He is now relating to it in a positive way. That's a Hamtaka, if you will, right? In other words, once the melach in the physical terms draws out the dam and the bile, and dam again is damim could be money, damim could be blood, but once it brings out the negative things of the meat, so then the meat is not the meat is left now giving chias, the meat is left vibrant, the meat is left giving vitality. And therefore, it's not so much that it conquers, it's that a person that's engaging in Shmir Sabris is now Mamtik, and now he's living with Arpanim. He's living attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we're going to see that a person who's Makusha to someone who's Shemir the Bris, a Tzaddik who is Shemir the Bris at the highest levels, and a person is associated and Mevatel himself and has a relationship and becomes an extension of a Tzaddik, he also is going to be Zoycha to this Bechina. Paragraph Gimel, V'zehu, and this is in the Brachas, in Zoycha. A bracha at the very end. I think it's by Chasan Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Vayigoresh mipanecha oyev, and he drove out the enemies from in front of you. Actually, we could just go and read the whole pasuk. It's Ma'ayne Elohei Kedem umitachas Ros Olam. The way that Rashi explains it, Hakadosh Baruch Hu preceded the world, and all of the mighty ones dwell beneath, so to speak, his abode. Vayigoresh mipanecha oyev, vayomer hashmeid. He drove the enemy away from you, and he said, destroy. Rashi learns these on these last few words. Vayigarish mipanecha oyev, if he drove the enemy away from before you, vayomer lecha, and he said to you, Hashmeid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the might and strength belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is at your assistance. That's the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. The way Rabbeinu is learning is approaching the Pasuk, vayigarish mipanecha oyev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove away the oyev from panecha. What's panecha? Mipanecha is the kedusha. It is a bechina of arpanim of kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove away from the koyach of one who is invigorated, who's attached to our panecha, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove them away from that panecha. What is that? To Taivas Mamon, that which is Shmad, which is destruction, and it's Avodah Zarah. Vayomer Hashmeid, and he said to destroy them, Lashon Shmad, Lashon Avodah Zarah, Hainu Taivas Mamon. This is very interesting. Let's go forward, and then we can comment. Ki Kol Yisrael Nekram Tzadikim. All of Klal Yisrael is called Tzadikim, the Al Shem HaBris. The Pasuk says, Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim, and over here in the note, he brings it to Zayar. It talks about Klal Yisrael's attachment to Bris Mila, and in the Hebrew translation of the Zayar, it says Ashrei Yisrael Sha'isim Karban Shal Ratzayin LaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemakriv Mes Beneim L'Shmaini Yomim LaKarban. It relates, as it were, to a person giving their baby boy a bris on the eighth day. U'Kasheni Moylim Nechnasim LaChelak HaToiv Shal LaKadosh Baruch Hu. They enter into the Chelak Toiv LaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekasev Etzadik Yisoid Olam V'Chemin Shenichnasu B'Chelak Hazeh Shal Etzadik Hem Nekram Tzadikim Vaday Kulam Tzadikim. Rav Chaim Kramer addresses this also, but for our purposes, there's a lot going on in the Zayar. It associates Shmiras HaBris with Tzadikim. The Rav Chaim Kramer brings the Gemara. It says that any mitzvah which a Jew brings from a Gemara, any mitzvah with Jewish people accepted with great rejoicing, such as circumcision, they fulfill with joy to this day. Any mitzvah that the Jewish people willingly sacrifice their lives to fulfill, such as circumcision and the denial of idolatry, they continue to steadfastly observe to this day, and therefore he associates and and because bris is associated with tzaddik yisad olam, and this is something that's lasting, the Jews are steadfast in the midst of circumcision, even in the most taxing conditions. So this is a reference in va'amech kulam tzaddikim. So again, in the text, it says Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael is the tzaddik. All of Klal Yisrael is included in the tzaddik, attached to the idea of tzaddik yisad olam. Hakadosh Baruch Hu drove away the enemies from panecha, from this idea of our panim. Ubishvil zeh, he says, kishemigarish mipneim de kedusha sa oyev, humapale some oivim bepanim de sitra achra, hainu hashmeid. There's a system. There's the same way that there's a system of physics in this world, there's a system of spiritual physics. This is in line with how the Kitzli Kutmaran brings out the point, I think. I'm adding a little bit, but I think that there's emes here, and I think it's in line with what he means. A tzaddik is a tzaddik is mevatel himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A tzaddik is, in this world, a walking, talking representation of Ratzon Hashem. A tzaddik who is doyim l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu afata, a tzaddik who thinks in lines, the way that he personally relates, his likes, his dislikes, his priorities, the way that he thinks, is he has adopted and utilized and incorporated full integration with the principles of Torah and how he views the world. A tzaddik is an embodiment of Ratzon Hashem. That means that a tzaddik is, like we said before, that there's ara in saif, there's panim, there's ara panim, there's the light waves that are coming off of the source of light. A person who becomes a pipeline for Ratzon Hashem, that person is attached to the ara, he's attached to the emes through emuna, but a person is attached to the light, attached to the emes, he's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you have something that's attached to the light source, and then something else comes close to it, right? It would be like if you had a 1,000-watt light bulb, and then something that's 800-watt light bulb. That's just, it could be that on its own, if it was in a dark room, it would provide light. But if anything, if you put something and you clear out a corner, you say that's only 800 watts, that's more dark than the thing that's more light. If you have a tzaddik that's attached to light and it comes into conflict with something else, there's an enemy, there's a opposition to the tzaddik, vis-a-vis the tzaddik, that's going to be darkness, that's going to be misa. Now, the words of the Kitzluk Demaran says that kol mishu shemer bris yoiser mechavero yupala hapiles chavero the taivas mamon. Why? Because if two people come into conflict and one of them is representative of the ar pnei shechina, of the emes, of attachment to the ultimate truth, to being, to existence, to hayahayveyeh itself, and something else has its other priorities, as far as it's concerned, it's darkness. And now when they come into conflict, darkness, we say, is associated with misa, but it's associated also with taiva, with taivas mamon. And now he says, "Kol Yisrael and the Krum Tzadikim al Yedei Shem Nimayelim vaikru Tzadik Emes Hashem Rbriso betachlis Hashleimos Hashleimos v'chol Mekuravim leTzadik Zeh Yuchul Hapeles Chavrei Madregasam." So the tzaddik himself is essentially a conduit for this Ar Pnei Shechina, for this light. All of Klal Yisrael is Amech Kulam Tzaddikim. Now, there's going to be levels, so that means there's a difference between quality and quantity, if you will, right? If we say that qualitatively we're a tzaddik, we're not as bright as the tzaddik, but if a person is mevatel themselves, they align themselves and associate with the tzaddik. So now, since qualitatively we are also associated with this idea of tzaddik yisayid olam, so all of Klal Yisrael can be associated with this element of pure emes, pure ar pnei shechina, pure light, as it were. I know that it's an analogy, which means that any opposition, any of the enemies, are associated with darkness, which we put into taivas mamon. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just make the person fall. What happens is, now that person is associated with darkness, they're effectively cutting themselves off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then they're going to fall. They're going to be less vibrant. There's less attached to the source of life, and then the tzaddikim will prevail. And so, kol tzaddik v'tzaddik, kishakadosh baruch hu roitz ligarish oivav shel tzaddik, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to drive away, as it were, the enemies of the tzaddik, the opposition of the tzaddik, who mapel es ha'oyev b'taivas mamon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes them to fall into taivas mamon, ki tzaddik hu bris oilam, which is interesting, we've said before, just different aspects of it. We have to try to tie it all together, because tzaddik is side oilam, because tzaddik is careful, more careful in shmir sabristik in yanim, so therefore he's also going to triumph over the Ivim, who are going to fall. And Taivas Mamon, I'm just going to read over here from the note. He says, these two things are Tolei Zebezeh, brings from Likutei Halachos, Mashalev Bayer Lamamon, from the fat, what for the heart, a person's Taivas are driven towards their burning for Mamon, who Ba'atzmo Bechinas Chamimus, Taivas Hamishkol. That is a heat from Taivas Hamishkol, because Taivas Niuf and Taivas Mamon are both Bechina Achas, and one is Tolei Zebezeh. And then he goes on and he says it works the other way also. I'm going to suggest that Taivas, we said interesting things. Number one, as far as Taivas Niuf is concerned, we've said already that's the Raha Kailel, and I think just even in my own experience, when it comes to Taiva and Arayazdik issues, this generates a heat, as it were, even in colloquial English, I guess they would say maybe the heat of passion or something. But this clearly makes a person's blood boil. It generates a certain warmth. Person's heart rate might speed up. This generally is an external stimuli that is going to generate heat and a tremendous taiva. When it comes to taivas mamon, it's not going to be as visceral. On the other hand, we spoke out before, potentially reasons why taivas mamon, a person who has $100, the Gemara says wants $200, a person is never going to be completely satisfied, and it's going to end up being a never-ending taiva. There's no way, almost even in a temporary way, to satisfy that taiva. And in fact, the taiva for money itself, if you're using money as a wherewithal to buy like a good thing, so then what you really want is the good thing. The money is just a way to get it. But the taiva for money itself is something that can never be fulfilled. The person always wants more. It's the taiva to have. There are people that can die with millions of dollars in their mattress or in their bank account. They never spent it, and they gave up years of their life and health chasing the idea of wanting more and more, which is more than they could possibly ever spend in a lifetime. So it's interesting because on one hand, we see that what sparks taiva the most, probably, and especially goes to the heart of it, even if a person is not involved in it, something can, pique their senses, the chamimus of taivas niuf. And that can be, once a person is subservient to their taivas, that can lead to taivas mamon. But what, in a certain sense, is a greater pit, what is going to suck a person into a never-ending chase to just fulfill taivas, which can never be fulfilled, that's going to be taivas mamon. And he goes over here in the Likutei Halachos that either one of them could break the cycle. We're addressing either one of them. Shmiras habris can bring a person to be goyver on taivas mamon, and over here we see that a tzaddik who is zoicha to shmiras habris can also triumph over enemies, whereby the enemies won't just fall. What they'll do is when they come into conflict, so then they'll become attached to taivas mamon. That's the physics. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it work. That's how they're going to fall. And they'll fall into a pit because they're more associated with darkness. By the way, why is that fair? Because they're in opposition to the tzaddik. If they were just on a lower level than the tzaddik, then they would just associate with the tzaddik and they would be able to draw off him as well. They're going against the embodiment of Torah in this world, and therefore that will be directed towards taivas mamon, and that will be, it will go down that cycle. And on the other hand, tzedakah, which we said, what was Lashon and the Gemara? Melach mamon, what's the preservative, the bris associated with mamon? Chaser, giving tzedakah, that's where... The way that we framed it is tzedakah, giving, let's say, in the context of meiser, giving a chelek. It's not that I work $9 for me and then I give a dollar to you. What it is that it's elevating 1/10 of every single molecule, atom, piece of effort, however you'd want to frame that, of work is now giving to tzedakah. That means that everything is becoming elevated when given appropriately. Again, a person gives tzedakah just as a fulfillment of a way to get covered also. But when a person gives tzedakah and they're able to elevate everything that they do, so now they can totally associate money as coming from the chef on high, from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we're putting in our effort, we're doing our hashtadlis, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu gives us the mamon, and everything that's really a pekudin, money comes and money goes, we relate to the money as coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the way to preserve that so that we'll have it is going to be to elevate the very money. So now it's not taivas mamon. What we want to do is we want to form ourselves into a kli and attach ourselves to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and now a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to send chef our way. The way to do that is by giving, not just by how do you solve being a taker? By becoming a giver, by becoming a pipe. The cup can never get filled up if you drop the bottom out and you turn yourself into a pipe, so that you're becoming a giver. You're not taking from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, you're receiving from a Kaddish Baruch Hu and then passing along the Shefa. By definition, everything that passes to you is passing through you. So he says, Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mapalev Tavis Mamu Ki Tzadik Hu Bris Olam. Okay, we read that. V'zeh Ha'oyev Shel Tzadik, the opponent, the enemy of the Tzadik, Shecholek Al Tzadik. He is separating himself, I'm opposing, but Cholek Al Tzadik, he's separating from the Tzadik, he's opposing the Tzadik. Ein Loi Melach Lahamtik Miri Russo. He is separating from the Tzadik Yisoyed Olam. He's separating from the Melach. If he doesn't have Melach, he doesn't have that Bris, then he doesn't have a way to be Mamtik the Marira. So why is he falling to Tavis Mammon? Because if he's not elevating himself, associating himself with the Ar Pnei Olam, with the Tzaddik, so now the Marirus in the meat, as it were, the Dam, the Damim, the money, the Dam, the blood, the is staying in the meat and it's going to putrefy. A person has to make those birurim to separate in order to be mamtik, that the meat should be vibrant and have life. But this person, if he doesn't have the bris, he's not associated with the tzaddik, so then it's not going to be able to be mamtik. Ki melach mamain chaser. But I think the way that he's reading it over here is like in the Hasidus, he could realign the grammar. I think he's saying ki melach, because melach, the bris, mamain chaser, will be mechaser, will take away the taivas mamon through the melach, through the bris. Ki ikar taivas mamon. The way to be mamayit tayvus mamon is through bris, through shmiras bris, and through association with the tzaddik. Ubishvil zeh zvulin shahaya oiv li yisachar. Zvulin is who loved Yisachar. Yisachar was representative of the tzaddik. The Yisachar was the was bearing the yoke of Torah, and zvulin supported him. Nemar bo smach zvulin smach hefech itzavan. We said itzavan is darkness, is misa, is tayvus mamon. But what's smach? Smach is the opposite of that. It's the association with the panim. It's the association with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And what was the simcha? Soiva smachais es panecha. It's overwhelming, saturated with simcha es panecha, because he's associated himself with the tzaddik. The tzaddik is our panim, and therefore when Yisachar was associating his mamon, his money, with supporting Torah, but it was one and the same. Yisachar's zvulun is not even just giving tzedakah. It's mamish, a partnership. That very money was associated with supporting Tzedakah, so then he was mevatel himself to the tzaddik. He was mevatel himself, as it were, to Yisachar, and therefore the taivas mamon, there was no taivas mamon. The money itself, the merirus, was gone, and therefore there was an attachment to the tzaddik. There was a hamtaka. There was no taivas mamon. I'm just gonna, as we close, I'm just gonna mention. We just talked about Simcha. Revolbi in Sefer Ali Shor, he has vadim. One of the vadims on Simcha, when he just in his introduction, the several vadim on Simcha, in the introduction over here, he says, Shemayim va'aretz, ish v'isha, neshama v'guf, nigudim heim. There are opposites. Now, when you take opposite things, there's different types of opposites. There are things that are fundamentally opposite, and there are things that could be nois in makabel. The Shemayim, the rain comes from the Shemayim, and the aretz receives the rain, and it's makabel, and it makes it plants things. Ish and isha v'zivug, and they're able to produce peris. Neshama and guf, also, they get together. So there are things that are fundamentally opposite, meaning that they can't go alone, and then there are things that on their own, they're opposite, but they complement each other. And the way that he says, "B'chol his kashrus hanigudim yesh simcha, v'zeh makayma mahusa shel simcha b'chol mokom she nimtzeis his kashrus or his achdus." And he goes on the simcha of mitzvahs to be makasher oneself to the to one's creator. Over here, we're talking about smach zvulun with attachment to the tzaddik. And we quoted also from Rav Moshe Shapiro, a sensation of simcha is breaking out of the limitations that confine a person to one's physical borders. But I think that it's all one and the same. If we talk about the idea of simcha as a person has a certain set of characteristics, it could be to be a nisin, it could be to be a makabel. But when we take these opposites, but not just opposites, the opposites that are complementary towards a shlemus, to make a kli, to be able to makabel the art, to attach oneself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so now you're taking you're now a piece. You could be the perfect piece of a puzzle, but once you attach yourself to the puzzle, you attach yourself to a greater machine. So now the machine operates. You're able to turn on. You are inherently part of something that's much bigger and broader, that transcends any limitations that you have. Once, you know, if you can imagine as or putting pieces of a puzzle together, and then once you put the last piece in, so then, you know, the lines between the pieces, let's say, you know, fall away. There's no lines. You can't tell. You can't can't tell anymore. You make it like a seamless thing. Once the pieces of the puzzle come together so that the things on their own, which might have expressed ideas that were on their own, opposing and not complementary, and now they complement each other to form a shlemus, and then that's an iterative process. Nasa v'nishma can go, a person can forever grow, and then if you have two things, an isha and isha, that are growing together, building a bayis nem b'yisrael, that each one grows and then goes on to complement each other, and produce peris and zivugim and bonim, right? So at that point, a person is totally has the simcha of no longer being identified with his own boundaries, but now he's inherently associated with things that are much greater than himself. The sum is greater, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Okay, I think that we are going to stop here, and then we'll try to sum up briefly in the beginning of the next year. Maybe we'll read quickly just the beginning of paragraph Gimel so that we can finish paragraph Gimel and go on.